Film critic Pauline Kael wasn't afraid to buck the mainstream. She lambasted The Sound of Music, a major hit in her time, with this critique, quote, "We may become even more aware of the way we have been turned into emotional and aesthetic imbeciles when we hear ourselves humming the sickly goody-goody songs," end quote. Her tastes tended toward the more complicated, in film and Friends, pursuing romances with gay men that strangely never worked out. Author and film buff Brian Kello has written a new biography on Kael. It's called A Life in the Dark. And he says although she became one of the most famous critics in America, her career didn't really take off until she was in her mid-40s.
Pauline had a very tough time getting her plane off the ground. She began her writing life thinking that she was going to be a creative writer, a playwright, and perhaps a screenwriter. And she made several attempts in that direction, and I think she just discovered early on that she wasn't very good at it. And eventually she found her way to movie criticism, and this was where she found her voice. But even after that, it took an awfully long time for her to reach any level of even sustaining a career. And it was a long, long road to The New Yorker, which she joined the staff of in 1968.
There, speaking of her voice, there is a contrarian streak in her and in what she pursues, subjects she pursues, and how she attacks them. She goes after wildly popular films, The Sound of Music, Star Wars. I mean, yeah. Films that now we think of as, you know, being part of the American pantheon of film. Why? Was that her nature, or was she seeking out opportunities to distinguish herself that way?
I think the answer is probably both. It was very, very difficult to pull the wool over Pauline's eyes. It just really couldn't be done. And I don't think she had any issue with popular success of films at all. I think she thought it was wonderful when a terrific movie reached a wide public. One of her ongoing concerns was that the movies that she believed in the most did not reach a wide public. And she didn't like a lot of the studio hacks, really. You know, the people who knew how to play politics and get their films made and then, in her opinion, didn't come up with anything terribly interesting.
I want to talk a little more about her personal life.
Yeah.
She seems to always gather people around her.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she does keep her distance and and pursues in her personal life what seem to be unattainable relationships, unsustainable maybe.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Segment 1.
Film critic Pauline Kael wasn't afraid to buck the mainstream. She lambasted The Sound of Music, a major hit in her time, with this critique, quote, "We may become even more aware of the way we have been turned into emotional and aesthetic imbeciles when we hear ourselves humming the sickly goody-goody songs," end quote. Her tastes tended toward the more complicated, in film and Friends, pursuing romances with gay men that strangely never worked out. Author and film buff Brian Kello has written a new biography on Kael. It's called A Life in the Dark. And he says although she became one of the most famous critics in America, her career didn't really take off until she was in her mid-40s.
Segment 2.
Pauline had a very tough time getting her plane off the ground. She began her writing life thinking that she was going to be a creative writer, a playwright, and perhaps a screenwriter. And she made several attempts in that direction, and I think she just discovered early on that she wasn't very good at it. And eventually she found her way to movie criticism, and this was where she found her voice. But even after that, it took an awfully long time for her to reach any level of even sustaining a career. And it was a long, long road to The New Yorker, which she joined the staff of in 1968.
Segment 3.
There, speaking of her voice, there is a contrarian streak in her and in what she pursues, subjects she pursues, and how she attacks them. She goes after wildly popular films, The Sound of Music, Star Wars, I mean,
yeah.
Films that now we think of as, you know, being part of the American pantheon of film. Why? Was that her nature, or was she seeking out opportunities to distinguish herself that way?
I think the answer is probably both. It was very, very difficult to pull the wool over Pauline's eyes. It just really couldn't be done.
Segment 4.
And she, I don't think she had any issue with popular success of films at all. I think she thought it was wonderful when a terrific movie reached a wide public. One of her ongoing concerns was that the movies that she believed in the most did not reach a wide public. And she didn't like a lot of the studio hacks, really, you know, the people who knew how to play politics and get their films made and then, in her opinion, didn't come up with anything terribly interesting.
I want to talk a little more about her personal life.
Yeah.
She seems to always gather people around her.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she does keep her distance and and pursues in her personal life what seem to be unattainable relationships, unsustainable maybe.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.